Okay, thank you everyone for coming out. It's exciting to start a new world together, to start a new area in Shulchan Aruch. This will, at the same time, we're starting something fresh, and we're definitely going to be drawing on where we've been, because obviously the sugyas of Hechsher Kelim are clearly rooted in issues of Tam Keker, and some specifics that we dealt with in Basav Chal are going to recur. We'll be coming back again to Klirishin and Klisheni, and we'll be coming back again to Eni Ben Yomo. We're actually going to discover there's an entire siman about Eni Ben Yomo, at least a part of which we will see, perhaps as soon as tonight. Hechsher Kelim appears in two different places in Shas, primarily, in Masechet Pesachim and Masechet Avodah Zarah, and that sense of having two addresses persists through the Rishonim. The Rif, and therefore the Rush, discuss Halachas of Hechsher Kelim both in Pesachim, the second parak of Shas, as well as the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Rambam also follows the Rif, which is surprising. Usually the Rambam redid his organization, but he does discuss Hechsher Kelim in Hilchas Chametz Matzah, in the context of Kashering for Pesach, as well as the last parak of Hilchas Machalos Asuras, where he discusses a lot of the Avodah Zara, Masechet Avodah Zara Kashros topics. So the opening topic in the last parak, the 17th parak of Machalos Asuras, is Hechsher Kelim, and then in the tour in the Shulchan Aruch. And the tour, it appears here in Yeridei, which is going to be our primary address, in Kuf Chaf Aleph. The beginning of the second Chelik of Yeridei in general is dedicated to kashrus topics that appear, that are rooted in Masechet Avodah Zarah. We were learning for a long time. We're learning Bas B'chalav, which is in the first Chelik of Yeridei, Pei Zayin to Tzadi Zayin. And first Chelik of Yeridei is the topics, the kashrus topics that appear in Chulin, Shechita, Treifas, kosher, non-kosher species, Melicha, Dam, etc., and Bas B'chalav and Tarovas. All of those are rooted in Masechet Chulin. The beginning of the second Chelik of Yeridei is kashrus topics that appear in Maseches Avodah Zarah. We may make our way next year to some of those other ones, to Lepi Shalakim, the other Machaleyakim, the Tefilas Kelim are all here, and halachas of Yayin extensively. In the midst of all this, Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph is the Simen about Hechsher Kelim in the Tur and in Yeridei. In the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, Yeridei Kuf Chaf Aleph, then Or Chaim, in the middle of Hilchas Pesach, Or Chaim, Simanim Tafnun Alpha, Tafnun Beis, are the other address of Hechsher Kelim, both in the Tur and in the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to see that the Tur has a tremendous amount, the Beis Yosef has a lot in Yeridei, but when the Rav Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, he actually, as we're going to see, actually sends you for a chunk of the halachas, go see what I wrote in a lot about process. So go see what I wrote in Hilchas Pesach. So we're going to be working initially from Avodah Zarah, then we're later on going to bring Masechet Pesachim on board as well, in terms of our learning. In terms of Tur and Beis Yosef, there is a lot in Yeridei. We may make occasional references to Archaim. I think really, if in terms of having a volume of tour, I think Yeridei should generally do the really be sufficient. In terms of Shulchan Aruch, there are definitely going to be, as I said, the Shulchan Aruch sort of shifted a lot of the center of gravity to Archaim. So having a Mishnah Berurah Chelek Hei is going to be not tonight, but going forward will be significant. I'm grateful to Eric. We reached out. If people wanna place an order, depending on what you have, some of you may have that volume of Torah Shulchan Aruch. Depending on which edition you're using for Bas B'chalav, either does or does not include Kuf Chaf Aleph. And then if what? Bait and switch. And then depending on where the island wants to go next year, if we want to move into future topics to include Machal Yaakov and Tefilas Kelim, so then that volume, we still get, you'll get a lot of mileage that way. I'll try to make it up to you somehow. but the truth is, going back to the very beginning, to the earliest source from the outset, Hechsher Kalim has two addresses in the Chumash. It appears in Parshat Tzav and in Parshat Matos. It will begin with Parshat Matos. In Parshas Matos, the Torah is in the context of Melchemes Midian. The Jews are gone to war. Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jews to go to war against the Midianim, not against the Moavim, because we are restricted al pidin in terms of how we interact with Moav. Moav and Midian had together started up with the Jewish people. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu to tell the Jewish people to go to war against Midian, and it's an incredibly successful war. In Parshas Matos, the Torah speaks both about the actual war and what they did afterwards. And one of the many tasks the Jews have afterwards is how to take care of the Kalim. And here the Torah speaks about the gold and the silver, the copper or the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead. The Torah mentions six metals: Zav, Kesef, Nechoshes, Barzel, Bedil, and Alferes. The Torah says three comments. Kol davar she'evo be'esh tavir be'esh v'taher. Whatever comes through fire, you have to pass it through fire. The Torah also, and then the Torah says, v'ach b'meini da yischata, it needs to be cleansed in meini da. And whoever doesn't go through fire, tavir b'mayim, you have to pass it through water. So Rashi says that what's this with the passing through the fire and passing it through the water? So Rashi says passing through fire, that means kashering, and passing through water, that's tefillas kelim. Tavir b'mayim, so this Rashi says the Tavir B'mayim is the din of Tefillas Kelim, which appears in Shulchan Aruch, appears in the end of the Avodah Zarah, and appears in the Yeridei Simchat Torah. And the Kol Davar She'evo Be'esh Tavir Be'esh, that's a reference to Haggadah. The Ramban takes issue with that in his Pirush al Torah. He says, number one, how do we know? He takes issue with the details, not with the basic picture. The basic picture is drawn from Chazal. He points out, by the way, how did we know we're talking about kashering anything? Where did kashering fall from? He says, because the Chazal don't talk about kashering, because even though the language of the pasuk was Tavir Be'esh V'Taher, you can make it Tahar. Said, but we know from Tfilat Chumash that Tahara in the Tumah Tahara sense is achieved through Mayim, through Tfilat B'Mikveh, never through fire. So that's why it was clear to Chazal that V'Taher over here is the other sense of Tahara. And in Parsha Shmini, you come across Tahara and Tumah both in terms of the usual sense of Tumah and Tahara, as well as in the sense of kosher and trade. You talk about Minim Tahorim, Minim Tameim, Behemoth Tahor, Behemoth Tameim. That doesn't mean whether it's Metameh or not, it means whether it's kosher or it's trade. So the Ramban, this is the opening comment, he says Chazal understood that this must be reference to removing tarfus, the Tahir in that sense, because otherwise fire doesn't really fit. Okay. And then he says, Ramban says he takes issue with Rashi, and he thinks that Ta'aviru B'mayim also is a reference to Kashrut, not to Tefillas Kelim. He says, I know it's not a reference to Tefillas Kelim. He says, Ta'aviru,
but you didn't say that. You
to pass it through water, that doesn't sound like Tefillas Kelim. I think it'd be Ta'aviru B'mayim, Tirchatsu B'mayim. There is terminology for tevila and chumash. Ta'aviru ba'esh, ta'aviru ba'mayim. These sound like they're more intensive processes. And the Ramban says, anyhow, we're not focused on tefillas kelim right now. But earlier on Ein Hayim Viz, when the Gemara wants to derive the din of tefillas kelim, the Gemara says it comes from that middle phrase, an extra phrase in the pasuk. Ach b'mei nida yischata.
The problem is that
the main yizayis chata, or the word v'taher. So the Gemara doesn't reference that second phrase, tavir b'mayim. So Rabban says he disagrees with Rashi. He says the Rabban raises an issue which maybe we'll come back to if we get into the halacha of Tfilas Kelim. Rabban is not sure whether Tfilas Kelim is Daraisa's Rabbanan.
Right.
He says if it's Daraisa, it's from Ahmed Ida Yishata. He says I have two phrases here that deal with Tashari Kelim, getting rid of the tarfas, and which are therefore relevant not only to metal but to other materials also. Kol davar shavu ba'esh tavir ba'esh. If it's not bought by Eish, then Tavir by mine. So what does Tavir by mine mean? So Ramban says what this refers to is what our Gemara talks about. Our Gemara...
In other words, remember, you know, we're talking about fungible acids.
The Gemara, the Brisa on the bottom of Ayin Hei Nadeh, let's take a look at that.
I can always go after the land.
Right, okay.
Tana Rabbanan.
So below him,
the third wide line in Hayim and Beis. Tana Rabbanan. Halokeach klei tashish v'na'akum. If I buy functional kalim, meaning kalim they're used for food, for menachri. If it's something that the Nachri didn't use, a new kalim, matvilan v'hein tahor. You have to take them to mikvah. Tvilas kalim is relevant, independent of whether that kli is kasher treif. So that's case one. Case two, devarim shenish tamesh v'hein tahor. So name, you have kalim that the Nachri did use, but only in, with cold. Could go in kosos, ketonios, slochios, things that are used for cold beverages, cups and flasks. And the pitchers and so forth, but it may have been used for treifa beverages. It may not have only been used for water. Maybe used for a treifa wine, or maybe used for treifa beer, or treifa juice, whatever. So then, or treifa milk. So madichan matbilin vehein tahorim. You have to rinse it. You have to madiach, and then if it's metal or glass, tovel it, and then it's good to be used. Case number two. Case number three. Something used with heat. With hot liquid. Like yoros kumkumus in the chame chamen. Pots are usually translated kumkum as a kettle or some other device used for heating water. At that point, you have to do hagala in hot water. And finally, case four. If it's used directly in the fire, dry heat. Like Sputin Vaskalos, if I have a spit or a grill, the Milabnar Matbil Vein Tarn. Then I have to kasher it with Libur. So here this Brisa presents four scenarios. A scenario where there's no need for Hekshar Kelim whatsoever, merely for Tfilas Kelim, if it's new, if it's unused. And then three varieties of Hekshar Kelim: Hadacha, Hagala, and Libur. Working back, Hagala and Libur were. With what we usually think about in the world of Hechsher Kalim. If the Bliya was through hot liquid versus the Bliya was through dry heat, Hagala versus Liban, putting it through, sticking to boiling water as opposed to putting it in the fire and until it glows. But before that was Hadacha. It's, there's no Bliya. It's just dirty. It's just sticky. He's not used it as a wine glass. He has a wine glass. I have to make sure that there's no residue. So I'm going to have to do hadacha. So the Ramban says that's what the Torah is talking about. Anything that was used in heat, Tavir Be'esh is going to need to have a hot process to purge the flavor. If it was not Babesh, if there was no heat, it was Tashmish Batsonin, then you just have to clean the surface. Tazir Bamaim, to remove all the residue from the surface. So that's how the Ramban looks at the Pasuk. The Pasuk, the closing phrase is teaching me about removing the Be'en, about Hadacha. And the first phrase, Tavir Be'esh, is both Haga'ola and Libun. And how do you know both Haga'ola and Libun? Ramban says, I might have guessed that Tavir Bamayin means Haga'ola, hot water. It means it wasn't directly in the fire. Ramban says, no. Kol Dava Sheva Be'esh means dry heat or wet heat, they're both included. Tavir Be'esh means use heat. How do you know there are two different ways to use heat? So the Ramban indicates that's part of what the Torah is alluding to with this long list. We began with the list. The Torah has six different metals. which is all the six different metals, the gold and the silver and the copper and iron, tin and lead. So when we get back, so one significance of that list is from a tefillas. Tefillas came. This is how you know the tefillas came applies to metals and not to other materials. There's no tefillas came on wood. There's no tefillas came on rubber. There's no tefillas came on earthenware. Only metal and midrabbanan and also glass. There's a further machlokas achronim whether there have if you have a metal that's not on this list. That's a machlokas. Paris Yisrael gets involved in that. More recently, Moshe and Yaakov Kamesky discussed that. So one significance of the list may be that it's only these six metals and not aluminum and not titanium and not palladium, platinum. They're pretty expensive plate. But others understand that's not the case. The Ramban indicates that this list has relevance. Forget about it. Tefillas Kalim is even relevance for Hakshar Kalim. Because he says bronze and iron and even gold and silver might have been used in dry heat. But the tin and the lead were never used in dry heat. They were only used as pots. So the part of the significance of this broad, diverse list is to give you a sense that this is going to come in different flavors. Sometimes it's going to be an issue with dry heat, sometimes it's an issue with wet heat, and you're going tavir ba'esh as appropriate. And this is the principle. The brisa here. The Ba'ayin Ham Beis is unpacking that the Gemara elsewhere refers to as kibol and psachim, and elsewhere as kibol lo kach polto. The way it gets, literally, the way it's swallowed is the way it spits it out. The bolea literally means to swallow. The pole literally means to spit out. Use it metaphorically. The way the clean absorbs is going to drive the way in which it exudes, the way you remove the flavor. So if it was just a blia bechamin, wet chamin, so all you need is hagalah. If it was a blia or a dry heat, then hagalah is not going to be sufficient. You need to do leaven. We're going to get involved going forward.
And I'm going to bring my guys, and they're going to see the stars.
In the details of that, and looking broadly, as we progress in the halachas of Hakshar Kalim, one major issue is going to be this question of figuring out which of the kashering processes am I supposed to use? Am I supposed to use Hagala or supposed to use Liban? We're going to see there also, Rishon, we're going to say there are different subtypes of Hagala. I do Hagala the Kirishon, I do Hagala the Iri, and so on and so forth. So there's one major issue is going to be which process do you choose? And let's not forget, we'll come back to it in a moment. We're going to begin with the first process the Torah speaks about, or one of the processes the Torah specifies. The first one that the Brisa speaks about, and that is Hadachah. That is the cleaning. That what do you do with Tashmish of its own? The other major issue, in addition to which process you use, is thinking about different types of kalim. Now you look at different processes, we look at different types of kind. That discussion, we mentioned before that Hakshar Kalim appears two places in Chumash, so here the Torah doesn't really differentiate between different types of materials, it just has a long list of metals. In Parshas Tzav, the other address in Chumash for Hakshar Kalim,
so we don't write the other cluster right away, but the Shamta
in Parshas Tzav, the Torah does highlight the issue of different materials are different. In Parshat Tzav, the context is not Giulei Nachrim, not Kalim that you got from a non-Jew and it has the blias of the non-Jew's tray for food. There it's the opposite. There it's holy. Holy blias. The holy blias that became treif. Or are going to become treif. In Parshat Tzav, it's talking, what do you do with the... You have a pot in which you cook meat of a carbon chatas. That's a scenario that the Torah describes.
If you come, you can get it right away.
So what's the issue? The chatas is pasul, so you shouldn't be cooking in the first place. You should burn it outside of the mikdash. The answer is no. It was a beautiful carbon chatas. It was totally kosher. It was gevaldik. Hopefully the Jew achieved kapara and he did tshuva and he's moving forward. And the Kohanim had the mitzvah to eat the karban chatas, besar chatas, kachakachim. And they did. And they did. And they didn't eat it raw, they cooked it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to lamashal gdula. It should be prepared in the most appetizing, most elegant way possible. And they did. They cooked it.
It's still hot, so it not. So we say,
and then what? The problem is, if you were to leave over any of the meat of the carbon,
because he was talking about, but
to the next day, it becomes no sir. Whatever is no sir is terribly treif.
Right.
It has to be burnt, and it's a iser karis to eat it. Machol sasurus. The question is, we ate up every morsel of the meat. Yeah, but the pod is bolea. The blias of the, at the time the blias are not only mutter but kadosh. Yeah, but tomorrow morning the blias are going to be nosa. So the Torah has a couple of rules for how you clean up after karban chatas. One, and then you have a perek in Zvachim that we will come to, Mr. Shem, the 10th perek dam chatas. Called dam chatas. One of the Din Torah has is what is a special mitzvah for how you clean clothing that got any blood splatter from a carbon chatas. You don't just put in the washing machine. You have to dafka wash it in the mikdash. So funny, I didn't mention the second day of Pesach. He mentioned that the first day of Chol Moed Pesach, the azara becomes a kitchen. You start roasting, you start toasting the grinding the barley, lil, the first night of Chol Moed Pesach in preparation of Karban Omer.
I mean, he says
the Torah here describes that sometimes, al-pidin, the azara becomes a laundromat. But if you have the din of dam chatas, you have to dafka wash the clothing to chabez v'makom kadosh. So it's a fascinating thing. So one of the topics in Perek Dam Chatas is that. So this is the unique din of holy laundry, sacred laundry. And the other major topic in Perek Dam Chatas is this din, is holy kashering. The Torah says that you have the blias of the chatas. So the Torah says if it was in a bronze kli, you're going to kasher it, and it's a mitzvah to kasher it. You're going to kasher a dafka in the mikdash, and then we'll get to later on hot water and cold water, morak v'shutaf. I mean, the extra steps of the process is dafka the mikdash. It's not merely a question of removing tarfas, but it's actually a mitzvah. And we'll get to some of those details. Some of the details will have relevance for our type of kashrut also. The first detail that has relevance, the Torah here, this is where the Torah specifies, if it's in a bronze kli, you can kashrut. If it's a kli charis bushal, if you cooked it in a pottery, so then just break it, just get rid of it. No, there's no kashrut. It's in Parshas Tzav, as I mentioned, a couple of details. But one of the key details from the big picture view for where we're at right now, sort of starting the view from 30,000 feet, is that the question of a picking between different koshering processes, different ways that the kli was historically used, and different processes you're going to use to kasher it, that's a focus in Parshas Matos. The question of differentiating between different kelim, that's a story that begins in Parshas Tzav, with a differentiation between cheres, which is not kasherable, or very difficult to kasher, versus metal, which is easy to kasher. We're going to see as we progress through the halachas of the Hechsher Kelim, those are going to be the two major questions. How and which? Well, what's the kashering process that I use? How do I do each kashering process, and how I choose between the kashering processes? And the question of special kelim: which kelim lends itself to kashering in the usual way? Which kelim need special care, and which kelim are just unkasherable? So there can be a number of different variables there, but the first of those variables appears in the Chumash, and that's the question of what material, and specifically metal versus earthenware. Because that's sort of the big picture view from the Psukim, from this opening brace on the bottom of Ayinim Beis, and sort of thinking about the two major sets of questions, are thinking about cooking and kashering processes, and thinking about differentiating between different types of kelim. And let's begin. We'll dive in again, where this Braisa opens. And the truth is not in the Braisa, it's even the Mishnah. The Mishnah already speaks. The Mishnah is a little more difficult to... The Mishnah is a little more difficult to translate. It's actually important. That which is normal to... If the derech is to be matpil it, you have to be matpil it. If the derech is to lahagil, you have to be magil it. If the derech is to labein bo'or, you have to be labein it bo'or. The Mishnah gives specific examples. Ashfud, Askel, Malabnim, Ba'ur. Those are examples of Davar, Shadark, Malabnim, Ba'ur, the spit and the grill. And the Mishnah goes on to say that if you have a knife, Hasakim, Shafavi, Torah, you can polish it, you can perhaps sharpen it, and then you can remove all the residue on the surface, and now you can use a knife. Now, we'll get to some of those details. But big picture, you notice the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. It's a major difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, structurally. How many cases did the Braisa have?
Right, you got to take the kids out of school.
How many cases did the Mishnah have?
So his wife out of school.
Three. It's a little tricky.
Yeah.
Which one is missing? See, David just realized, just in just a few words, he captured the whole wrinkle in the Mishnah. Well, is tefillah missing or is tefillah not missing? Well, it says Dark of Hatpil. What does Dark of Hatpil mean? And this is something that we've shown him dive into, and it actually has a lot of practical relevance. We're about to see. Which case? The Bryce had four cases, right?
Yeah.
Bryce was clearer, not only had more cases, but Bryce was clear about what the cases are. Not used at all, used in Sonim, used in Chamin, used in Ur.
Rashi's saying
Sonim. Oh. So here, cases three and four definitely make it, definitely already appear in the Mishnah. Lahagil Lalabin Bu'ur. The question is, Darko Lahatbil, Yatbil, is that reference to case one? That reference to case two? Well, let's remember. What you do in
case. In other words, yeah. Three and four we have a sequential, right? And we're using the same muscle, the same grammatical construct in the Mishnah. So it sounds like they're all used, which would assume that we're dealing
with... Which means that case one of the Braisa is not mentioned in the
Braisa. Ah, right. Well, let me put it this way. Case one in the Braisa was, it's a nuclear. What do you need to do? Tovel. Case two was, it's a used cleaver. It was only used with told drinking glasses. So again, nowadays, I should point, things get a little more complicated because of the way we wash dishes in hot water. So that's something to bear in mind in the back of our heads. Okay. But it's Davar Shetashmisha B'tzonein, so I have to do Hadacha and Tzvila. What does the Mishnah say? Whatever case the Mishnah is talking about, the answer is Yatbil. What does Yatbil mean? Tovel it or clean it? It sounds like Tovel it. So it sounds like...
But in the context of the other two cases, it means Hadacha.
Ah! Oh, very, good. So Rashi says, Rashi has a kolomar. Kolomar is always a flag. He's about to give a non-literal interpretation. This means, kolomar means, literally, kolomar means, this means to say. Well, this means to say, okay, we're going to give a slightly non-literal interpretation of what this means. You'll find that term in many Rishonim, but I think primarily Rashi and Ritva, I believe, are the most common users, utilizers of the kolomar. Which is Eshedarik Lahatbil kolomar, Keli haro'ui li taher b'tvila. Ein tzarech tikun acher. Kegum klisha tashmisha adei tzonein, yatbil v'su lo tzarech. What's the kolomar? Number one, he's saying, I mean, darko lahatbil. You usually are matbilit? What? You tovel your drinking glasses all the time? No, you don't. So he's that's the first aspect of the kolomah. As he's saying, clear royally tahar b'tvila. The brisa was clear. It says davar shetashmisha like this. Tashmisha, you use it this way, use it that way. Hearing that it's used in a way that the response is tvila. Okay, it sounds like Rashi means tvila.
So it's
what we call tefillah, or maybe not. Maybe it means hadacha, because he spoke about tashmisha deitzoni. So what does yatbil mean? What does yatbil mean? Or let me put it differently. Let me put it differently. Oh, and by the way, let me put it differently. The question is whether the Mishnah is talking about case one or case two. Another way of thinking about that is, did the Mishnah tell us the din of tefillah is kalim or not? You'll notice, by the way, take a look at the very first line of the Gemara. The Gemara puts a brisa. Tana, v'chulin tzrichin tefillah barboim saw. They all need tefillah in a mikvah barboim saw. And we don't have where that come from. And then they hear that opens the sugya of tefillah is kalim that runs from the beginning, from the end of the Mishnah until the two dots.
Someone's going back home.
That's the entire, that is a sugya of tefillah is kalim. So that, what's the point of the brisa? We already said tefillah is kalim in the Mishnah.
He's not listening, and we put him in chair.
So maybe this means, well, you have to tell me that even Hagala and Liban things mean both Hagala and Tvila, both Liban and Tvila. Or maybe, we didn't mention Tvila in the Mishnah. Yatbil meant Yodiach. It meant to rinse. And maybe the Bryce is telling me for the first time the dinner feels came. Interesting question.
Okay.
It's about to become practically relevant. Also, it's about to actually give rise to machlokas harishon, lahalach. Let's recap what we just saw, and then we'll be ready to plug it back and go right to the Gemara. We're going to see where this takes us.
So then we don't listen. He's not Momish Antinan like.
Again, the Brisa gave four. The Brisa was very clear. It gave four cases. Unusing Tfilas Kalim. If it's used in one of three ways, then you need to kosher in one of three ways and also Tfila. Either you just. You have to clean the surface. If you use it with hot, then you have to draw out the flavor, absorb flavor, either through Agala or Liban. So the Mishnah's use of the word Yatbil was a little mysterious. Okay, but now let's go back to the. Let's go. Let's go. Let's take a look at the way the Shulchan Aruch quotes one piece of this brisa, and then we'll go weiter in the Gemara, and we'll see where it takes us. Let's take a look at Kuf Chaf Aleph Seif Aleph. We begin with the dinim of Tashmisho Bitzonim. I buy old kalim from the guy. Because again, the previous simon, kufchav, was tefillah's kalim. So tefillah's kalim regardless of whether it's new or old. But now I say if they're used, if they're not case one, if they're cases two, three, or four, then kederch shenesh behem ha'avu kachavim, kachu hechsherim, kevolo kach polto. That was the primary principle of the brisa, and that's our stargate. We had said before, the two major issues are figuring out processes and looking at unique types of kalim, and we begin with the question of processes, the focus of Parshas Matos. Lefikach. So what's that? How does that break out? Now he gives it the first of the three types of kashrut. Okay, if I buy used kalim from an achri, they're only the sort that are only used with cold. Kigon kosos slochas kiotzven. I have cups, I have pitchers. Medichin, you have to rinse them. And then he quotes the Ravid. The Ran already quotes this Ravid. Vitzarech l'shafshaf on hated v'mayim b'shas hadacha kedei l'hasir ulmarei ka'isra sh'al gabeyen. Yachach showed from b'mayim. The Ravid is very specific. He says you can't just be that you rinse it, even though the language of the Bryce was medichon, more than just a rinse. Ravid says after you're taking it to mikvah. So well, he said, the Bryce has said if it's new, just bring it to mikvah. If it's used, then medichon matbila. Clearly medichon is more than just mikvah dealer. Are they just taking the mikvah? They'll be two for one. So the Ravid says that's what Shofar Achad Kohen. Obviously, medicha means you got to really scrub it. Really scrub it. Mishaf shave. Make sure you get all the little bits of gook off. Look, there may be a little bit of wine. There may be a little bit of milk. There may be some. The sugar may be sticky. The fat may be sticky. You got to really put in some elbow grease. And then rinse it when you're done scrubbing. Achar show it from the vine. And then after that, you take it to mikvah, assuming that the shach points out, take it to mikvah, sivkan beis, dafek kli matechas sarach tevila, because the elsim in kufcha, lokam and siv beis. Okay, remember, tefilas kelim is going to apply only to metal, mi atorah, mi drabon, to glass. If you have a ceramic mug, that was only used for cold, or you have a wooden cup, a wooden pitcher, so those you're just going to have to do hadacha, shifshuf, but no tefila. Okay, but if it requires tefila, so you'll clean it, and then you do to the
low, low.
Okay, Siv Beis. We're not going to jump into just yet. You see, Siv Beis is Lachaim Kalish and Shanshman and Bechamin. So if it's hot, then he starts talking about how you kash. The next part of the break. Okay, for now, let's focus on Hadacha, and so now that you see, by the way, Sif Gimel, if you're peeking ahead, you see that's the line I mentioned. Dini Hagala Velibim, Halo Heim Kesuvim, Behilchus Pesach, a little bit of a biblical sound there. Halo Heim Kesuvim, Sefer Divarim, Mamache Parasim Adai. It sounds like Nicholas Esther or Sefer Malachim. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch was going biblical. Halo Heim Kesuvim, Behilchus Pesach. And so the Shach is there, sends you out. The simon tafnun al v'tafnun beis. Okay.
Yes.
Sure. We'll get there. But the first topic is a question of Tashmisho bit Sony. Okay. So one topic is the Ravid points, as he said, points out. Clearly, if the Bryce has said, you have to be Mediach, I have to be Machpel, I would say, Adacha means Shushan. Okay. Then the Rishonim point out, let's keep reading. Let's go back to that Bryce. Five lines from the bottom. Right? We had left off with case number four. Zarish and Tashman had been Ur, that Shpudnas close. Milabna Matbil Mentor. You have to do Libum, put it in the subclean oven, or heat it in the grill. Figure how you're going to heat it until it's really, really hot, until it's glowing. We'll get bleed out, get some detail. And then take it to Mikra if it's metal. Right. Or improbably if it's glass. And then it's Mutter, Mentor. Then the Bryce goes on to say, here's usually we had stopped here before. Let's see the rest of the Bryce. And there are two versions the Gemara presents for the rest of the Bryce. Let's say you used it without doing what you're supposed to do, without tevila or hadala or libun. So then what? It was wrong to use it without doing. You're supposed to do proper process. And you didn't. You got it for nothing. You just brought it straight to the kitchen and got right down to business. And you made food with it. So now it's b'dyavad, literally b'dyavad. Now it's right after the fact. So what happens to the food? I did wrong. I did ishla chatchila. I violated it. I didn't process the kli properly. Does it make the food treif? So the brisa says we saw this part of this early in Bas B'chal. Tani chata also, but tani idach muta. Two versions of how the brisa ends. One version says, and if you didn't do hagala tevila hagala libun, the food is treif. And the other version of Bryce says, no, you have to do all these things. You didn't do it. The food is kosher. You did wrong. You got the tshuva for the Maaseh Isser, but the food is kosher. And the Gemara says, what's going on with the two Bryces? So the Gemara explains, the question is, no same time, Lefgam.
The low Asi, as long as he hasn't come yet, after Karusahu, it's still...
It's a question of no same time. Lefgam. Here's the Gemara begins to explain that if you leave it till it's no longer Ben Yomo, you leave it beyond that it's no longer the same day. I bought it for the Nachri yesterday. I use it today. I use it tomorrow. It's an Ein Ben Yomo. So I was supposed to go through all this process, but if I didn't, it doesn't make treif because the Bliya is already Nifgam, and the Bliya, when the Bliya comes out, It's going to go into the blia of the old non-Jewish food comes into the Jews' food. It's no sin tam lufgam. It's reducing the quality of the food because it's an old blia, so it doesn't make trich. And that's the issue. How do we look at no sin tam lufgam? Is no sin tam lufgam mutter? Us, are we passing mutter? That's why we would say achi yatla achi yagyal shalilabin is mutter. By the way, you see why Sibin, looking at Ayin Hey and Bey, just looking at the Amud, you see the order of Yerodeya. The middle of the Amud is Simen Kuf Chaf to Yos Kalim. Then towards the wide lines at the bottom are Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, Hechsher Kalim. And then the last few lines are Simen Kuf Chaf Bey, Nosen Tam Lufgam. Here you mamish see the way in which the Tur often used the Seder HaGemara. We're talking before we got started about, you know, the first 111 simanim, Chelek Aleph is the Chulin Sugyas, and then Kuf Yud Beis Anan is the Avodah Zarah Sugyas. Here you see Mamash, Simon by Simon, Kuf Chaf, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis, over the course of Avodah Zarah and Hayim Beis. Now, but here's what's interesting. There's a lengthy Rashba that I put in the Maamar Kamos as a optional. It is a long Rashba and a very beautiful one. You have to have the time and the patience to sort of read step by step, but you have to read it more than once. It's a little complicated. First, you see a few times, and everything begins to fall into place. The Rashba wonders about the following. Do you notice anything interesting about this latter part of the Brisa we just saw? And you'll see now why we saw the Mishnah. We saw the beginning of the Brisa, we went back to the Mishnah, and then we came back to the end of the Brisa. What was clearer about the beginning of the Braisa than the Mishnah was there were four cases. And it was clear what they were. Unused, used in cold, used in hot, wet, and used in hot, dry. And it was clear that there were four responses. Tevila, Hadachan Tevila, Hagala Tevila, Liban Tevila. What do you see at the end of the Braisa? Let's say any of these Kalim, I use them without what? Shlo yatbil, shlo yagil, shlo yilabin. Here the Braisa is used in the language, the formulation of the Mishnah. Only three. And once again, yatbil, yagil, yilabin. The same as the Mishnah. You see that? What does yatbil mean? Does it mean you didn't do tefillas kehil? Or we mean you didn't do hadacha? So the Rashba says, he says, well, yesh mefarshim this way, yesh mefarshim that way. So first he says yesh mefarshim, and he tells you at the end of that yesh mefarshim, it attaches some pretty serious names. He says it's his Rebbe the Rambam, and it's the Rambam, said, Achlo yatbil means hadacha, you didn't scrub it. It can't be in Tevila, even though it sounds like Tevila. They say, number one, in the Mishnah, Es Shadarko sounds like it's the way you use it. Es Shadarko Lahatbil? Is that something that needs Tevila? It sounds like the way you use it is with cold fluid. So they're already connecting the language of the Braisa to the language of the Mishnah. And then they also say, look at where the Braisa goes. Right. There was a machlokas brisis about what? B'diavad, you didn't do tevila hagalaliban, is it kosher or trade? Oh, no stam lufgam. If no stam gam mutter, as we paskin, then it's mutter b'diavad. If not, it's usher. Come again? You didn't tovel it? It's going to depend on no stam lufgam? Ramban says, that doesn't make any sense. Tevila scale is relevant even if it was never used. Well, what does it do with it? And does nothing to do with it removing the tam. No kesher, no stam of gam. Of course, and he goes on to say, no, it's the concept of no stam of gam irrelevant. The whole issue is irrelevant. Everyone agrees that it doesn't make the food trade. There's no machlokas about that. Kuli amalo pligi, that if you bought new glasses, you bought a new frying pan, and you didn't do tefillas kelim, and you used it, you drank out of the glasses, you've made eggs in the frying pan, I violated the mitzvah of a tefillas kelim, and the drink and the eggs are kosher. No, that's not up for debate. So the Ramban said, the Rashba quotes to the Rebbe, the Ramban. Clearly, this doesn't mean tefillah. This means hadacha. Says, what we're using as a set of three, both in the Mishnah and the Braisa, it means hadacha. It means hadacha. It means hadacha. Which, by the way, happens to fit well with the Ramban in the Pirush Al Torah, with which we began, because this also means, as I said before, if you take that approach, it means the Mishnah doesn't mention tefillah scale. The Braisa mentions tefillah scale, which is attractive if you see the Parsha and the Chumash is only talking about Hechsher Kalim. According to Rabbi, he entertains the possibility that maybe Tefillah Kalim was entirely Drabbanan, and the references in the Psukim are just Asmachta, and the Psukim really in Mirat Torah only talking about Hechsher Kalim. And that the Ramban thinks that the Mishnah also is only talking about Hechsher Kalim. The Gemara calls Bryce to talk about Tefillah. But the Mishnah is only talking about Hechsher Kalim. Okay. Then the Rashba says, but there are other Rishonim who disagree. The Raiva disagrees. He calls it Tsarfasim, the French, meaning the Bayatosos, disagree. Ultimately, the Rashba indicates that he also is on the side number two. And they say, no. Lahatbil means tefillah. Tefillah means tefillah. Tefillah doesn't mean hadacha. The Braisa, Mela the Mishnah, but this Braisa, the Braisa itself just differentiate between hadacha and tefillah. Then you say, but now in the next line we're reusing the word in a different way? That's very difficult. But then why did you say ad shelo yatpil? So he said, no, that was lav dafka. That was lav dafka. Surprise, right? That was lav dafka. L'may nafka mina. Why do I care? Why does it make any difference? It makes all the difference in the world. For our topic, where we're beginning with the question of Tashmisha B'tzonin, let me ask you a question. Halacha l'maysa. Let's say I bought drinking glasses from a nachri. Used. I didn't rinse them. I didn't scrub them. Rinse them, where? Took them to mikveh if need be, but I didn't scrub them down, right? Rabbi said, yeah, I'm a scrub down. I didn't scrub it down. Maybe they're not even glass or metal. I didn't even tell you, I need to take them to mikveh. Or I did take them to mikveh. Or I didn't take them to mikveh. A kitzer. And then I used them without hadacha. What's it then? Davash Tashmisha B'tzonin. And I didn't clean them. And I used them. What's the status of the food? Or the drink?
Kosher.
Why?
I don't know.
There are no wrong guesses.
I mean, if it's dirty and there's mamashes of treifus in there and it mixes with whatever you're drinking, then that would...
So our intuition, your intuition is, well, the tarfus there. It's a bit of a shishim. It's not a bit of a shishim. David said, kosher. Let me push this a step further. I bought a drinking glass from a used drinking glass. And I let it sit for 2 days. And then I used it without scrubbing it. What's the status?
You know it's used.
And it's not the
plug it in. Well, the Bryce has spoken about what happens if you didn't do the due process. And the Bryce has said, does anybody know? So then it depends on what you think of Nostam of Gaman. We hold Nostam of Gaman's mutter. Which cases did the Bryce address? Spoke about if you didn't do Hagalah, if you didn't do Libun, and if you didn't do Tevila. What does Tevila mean? So according to the second approach, the Rivet and the Sarfasim and the Rajba, Tevila means Tevila's Kalim, and it really doesn't belong on the list. Okay, that was just Agav Gerara. The point is really, he didn't do Hagalah, he didn't leave it. But according to the Ramban, and according to the Rambam, if you didn't, Achlo Yatbil means Hadacha. So the Braisa is saying, if you didn't do the Libun that you needed to do on the grill, or you didn't do the how God needs to do in the pot, or you didn't do the scrubbing that you need to do on the drinking glasses or the plates. No sintam of gam is mutter. In other words, this machlokas of how you read the Mishnah and of how you read the end of the Brisa is really machlokas halacha l'maaseh. The Rashba makes this clear. The Rambam, again, Rambam in Mishnah Torah isn't overtly trying to say pshat in a Gemara. He's giving dinim. See, he's very clear. If you didn't scrub it clean, or you didn't do Hagala, or you didn't do Libun, if it's Eina ben Yomo, mutter b'diavad. In other words, Rambam and the Rambam, the first view the Rashba quotes, hold that Eina ben Yomo is relevant not only to Bleas in a Kli that would be removed through Hagala or Libun, it's even relevant to the Gook on the surface. That yes, Gook on the surface is an issue, but Eina ben Yomo, according to Rama Ramban, Eina ben Yomo is relevant even to Gook on the surface of a Kli. If residue sits on a Kli for 24 hours, you're still mechuyev to remove it, but if you didn't, it won't make treif. And you don't have to worry about shishim. It's nosen tam of gam. And the Rashba says, the Ravid thinks that that's absurd. He says, the Ravid and the Baal Tosfos says, and Rashba says, and I agree also. No. Nosen tam of gam is only a blias. Something that's nivla into the Kli. So it's sitting in the Kli, it's going to pick up the metallic, earthy flavor. But if it's exposed to the air, why is it any different than leaving a piece of meat out? If you leave a chunk of cheese on the counter for 30 hours, you don't say now it's parv. Eina ben Yomo. I mean, again, if it really spoils, okay. But if it's not, you leave a piece of meat out overnight. It doesn't sound very sanitary. It sounds like we have a doctor in here who would not be so happy with that approach to food safety. It might not be so healthy. It might not be so tasty. But you're not going to necessarily say every piece of food that sits out for 24 hours is automatically Eino ben Yomo and doesn't make anything treif. No. He says, the Rashba explains, based on the Ravid, says, no, Eino ben Yomo is only the bleus within the Kli. That's the machlokas. So he showed him. Residue on the surface of a Kli, surface residue, be'en. Is there a din of Eino ben Yomo, a heter of Eino ben Yomo, on the end? And that brings us to Siman Kuf. This is adjudicated in Siman Kuf Chaf Beis, where he tells you, if you have a year a day, you can take a look. If not, you'll have to. I'm sorry, the copies don't go that far. I guess you'll have to trust me. Opening Sif and Kuf Chaf Beis, no satam of Gamma's mutter. Okay, now that was a machlokas in the bottom of Ein Hei Beis, and we pass the mutter. What are cases of no satam? Now that we know no satam of Gamma's mutter, that if something is you're adding something into food and it's a net negative to the food, it's being poking the food, even though it's not nifsal me'achila, but it's a net negative, it's being poking the food, reducing the quality of food, that doesn't make the food treif. So what's an example? So number one is Sif Beis, they tell you, Kadeir Sheina Bas Yomo. You're not allowed to, you're not allowed to cook in it, but if you did, it doesn't make the food treif. Okay. And then Sif Gimel, Yei Shomrin. Only yafa. If it's a nice pot. I mean, a nice pot. I mean, you cleaned it well. You removed all of the surface residue. And the only issue, it's a nice, you scrubbed it clean, you just didn't kosher it. And didn't do hagal. Yafa. I think that maybe this is a typo. It's not Shagder Yafa. Maybe it's Hidicha Yafa. I got to take a look in a different edition. Okay, what do you have before? At the beginning of the Sif, in your edition. Oh, so you also have that. Shagder Yafa. Sounds almost like Hidicha Yafa. Because in the next line it says, Imlo Hidicha Yafa. If you didn't scrub it well, going back to what we saw in Kuf Chaf Aleph, the Ravid, that the Hadacha means Hadacha Yafa, She'isru be'en, there still is residue, Eino nifkam b'shehiyas me'eis leis. There's no, you don't get a free pass. You don't say Eino ben Yomo, Eino ben Yomo is not going to be pogim it. And that they quote in the parentheses, Rashba, Tur, and Ravid. Exactly, that's position number two. And then the Rama goes on to say, Makamakam, Yeshishim, Negadavid Bekadera, Kal Shari. If I have an old pot, so he says, the Rama says, I don't need Shishim against the pot, if the pot's Eir Ben Yomo. Right? That we knew. Even if it is residue, I just need Shishim against the residue. You need Shishim against the residue, but I don't need Shishim against the pot. Okay. So Lamaisa, the Mechaber Amar telling us, we paskin like the second approach. The Rashba said these two approaches, how to read the Braisa, and we paskin like approach number two. Again, meaning that Anshalo Yad, that Hadacha is Ma'akev. Hadacha makes trade, a lack of Hadacha is going to be a problem, even La'achar 24 hours. And that's why we have the intuition. Now, the difference between Be'en, because throughout Hilchot Bas Behalva, kept saying the difference between Be'en and Balua, in many respects, but one of them is in terms of Ein Ben Yomo. That's actually now that we're getting to the sugyas of Hechsher Kelman and No Stam of Gam Kol Chafal Kol Chavayv. You see, it's actually Machlokes Rishonim, and unbeknownst to us, the Ramban and the Rambam hold that even Be'en that's stuck to the surface of a kli sits out for more than 24 hours. Doesn't make treif b'dyavad. We don't pass in that way. We clearly pass in kuf chabez. So Gimel, like the Raivin and the Raj and the Bali Atosus, that it's only Hagala and Libun whose absence won't make treif if it's Ein Ben Yomo. But if Hadacha wasn't done, that is a problem even b'dyavad. That's a problem even b'dyavad.
Those opinions who hold that even after Ben Yomo, the Be'en would be Pagam.
Right.
They're not going to say that it's the actual pieces of meat. Meaning,
that's an interesting question.
Like a thin layer
right.
of
yeah, I think so. I think
residue. So it's not that, like you were saying, like if I have a piece of meat on the table, like obviously they're not going to say that. Even if there's a
right.
chunk of meat on the pot, they're talking about a really thin layer.
So presumably. Like presumably. There's a lot of film. Right, that's the question. Right, what I was saying that is the Rajba's attack. The Rajba's attack. What are you talking about? How are you talking?
But really, it's not so look,
right. Right, because that was ridiculous. Don't you agree to me that you leave a piece of cheese on the counter? Right, and they probably do agree.
Right, they would agree.
They probably would agree. The question is going to be where you draw the line. If you have little pieces, just like a film. How about if you have like the chalm pot? They're like little, you know. Bachar shachal and pot, and no one bothered to do anything. And now it's Tuesday, right? So if it's just a film, and then you've made milchiks in the pot, so then that would be machlokas rishon. We pass in treif, or unless you have shishim connected the film. Question: let's say there are a few pieces of barley. That also, that way the Ramban would agree is a problem or not. Little strands of meat. I don't really draw the line. It's not. Poskim don't discuss it, as far as I know, because we don't pass like Rama Rabban. But yeah, Nechaname, according to Rama Rabban, you gotta figure out where would you. There has to be some line. Presumably that would be their response to the Rivas reductio ad absurdum. And the question is exactly where the line is a good question. There are two other issues in the world of Tzonin that we're not going to discuss now. We'll pick up with next time. But it already flowed from this chunk of Gemara as well. Let me just lay out what they are. One is what the Rush calls Hechsher Lachatzon. Let's say I scrubbed. I scrubbed it. I have a pot that I scrubbed. So does that work? I mean, obviously I can't use the pot for hot until I kosher it. But let's say I'm not. I'm just going to use it as a fruit bowl. It's a pretty glass pot. And I just want to use it as a fruit bowl. I bought it from the Nachri, used it as a pot. I have loads of pots. But I can use a good glass fruit bowl. And it has sort of the right shape for it. It's decorative. So I just want to scrub it and tovel it and right. So that the Rama picks up on in Sif Hei. is what the Rush refers to as Hechsher L'chatzar. That's an interesting question. And the other version of that is, let's say I have a grill, I have a pan, I have something that requires libun, I'll just do Hagala and just use it with liquid. Hechsher L'chatzar. And they're not the same. We'll see about that. That's one interesting question. Another point that the Ramah raises there in Sifhei is somewhat related, is the minig to kasher everything, to do hagala on everything. If you bought things from the Nachir that are Tashmisha but so on, Ramah said, usually our minig is everything goes in the kasher pot. Maybe somewhat relates, or the flip side of Chati, or the reverse of Chati Hechsher. And then the third interesting question is something that Tosis here raises. Does the tefillah have to come after or not? How if I did the tefillah before? Does the order matter? It's a big and fascinating machlokes rishonim. So we're going to pick up with all of those issues in Mirtzah Hashem next time.